5 p.m. hour of Russo and Rizzo, presented by Goo Creek Moving and Storage, live at the Palm Beaches Golf Classic, presented by the Palm Beach County Sports Commission, and partnered with the James Hardy Pro Football Hall of Fame Invitational. Got a lot going on here at the park in West Palm Beach. It's Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo. We're live on site on a humid afternoon, Thursday, the 25th of September, 2025. If you missed any of that first hour, you want to listen back, go listen to Russo and Rizzo, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, all those great places. Or watch us back, all in all of those spots as well. So stay tuned for that. And we got Christian Catt, who is back at home base at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach, keeping us up over the air. Christian, welcome in. How are you today?
Doing pretty good. Got a sweat in with my golf lesson today. So, feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty motivated to get my golf game right, you know, because like I told you guys earlier in the week that if USA does not take care of home field this weekend, I will have no other choice than to get my PGA Tour card, earn enough FedEx points, and represent our Stars and Stripes in 2027 and take the Ryder Cup back.
And speaking of the Ryder Cup, the foursome matches are out. We'll get into it. We'll get into a bunch of things. Let's do a little 5 and 5 presented by Flagler Credit Union.
Five topics.
High five.
5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's get out of here.
Endless takes.
You can't handle the truth.
All gas, no brakes.
And it's shaking bank time.
It's time for the 5 at 5.
Hold on to your butts.
Presented by Flagler Credit Union, proud supporter of FAU Athletics. Earn up to $700 per year with boost checking from Flagler Credit Union. Number one.
Pretty packed NFL Week 4 slate coming up, and maybe no game bigger than a reunion on Sunday Night Football. It's the Packers, it's the Cowboys. Micah Parsons going back to Jerry World. Micah Parsons was asked how he's going to be received by the Cowboys fans, and here's what he had to say.
You know, I think Dallas loves me. You know, I think they're going to give me a good round of applause, and, there's no hard feelings there. At least for me, and I think it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a great atmosphere. I think, you know, this is some of the best football you're going to get in Dallas when it's Sunday night against, you know, a rivalry opponent.
Agree or disagree with Micah Parsons that he's going to get a big ovation and be welcomed back with open arms and love and admiration by Cowboys fans?
Kind of split on this because I do think some Cowboy fans will just blame Jerry, and if they blame Jerry, then they're pro-team Micah Parsons. But I also think there's some Cowboy fans that if there's another Cowboy on the opposite end of the field in a different uniform, they're going to boo him. He could cure cancer. They're still going to boo him because he's not a Cowboy. So part of me is on both sides. He's going to get some boos on Sunday, on Sunday Night Football.
It'll be a mix. It'll be a mix of boos and cheers, and it'll be weird. It'll be awkward. Do they win that game?
Oh, the Packers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
They win that game?
Yes. I do think they're going to score quite a bit, and unfortunately, I think the Cowboys are going to walk out of that game, you know, sitting 1-3 with a loss to the Bears and the Packers back to back. Cowboys are going to, you know, not have their heads held high after that one. That's going to be a rough showing, in my opinion. I think the Cowboys are going to be in a really tough spot emotionally after that one.
I think I like the Cowboys there. Let's do number two, Christian.
You just want number the Packers two. To lose. You just don't like the Packers.
Well, last night in baseball, Cal Raleigh, he did what we talked about before, hitting 60 home runs, number 59 earlier in the game, and then
Channing MVP. Fly ball to right field, number 60!
Now, you might have seen that all over the internet if you're a baseball fan, if you're a sports fan. But did you see this from Cal Raleigh post-game where they got in trouble with the FCC?
Yeah, I mean, I think most people heard what I said last night, you know. Might as well win the whole thing.
All right, Aaron, back up to you. Naughty Cal.
Naughty Cal, says the sideline reporter with the Seattle Mariners. My question for you, Mike, and you, Colin, it's an MVP race right now going between Aaron Judge, Cal Raleigh. Currently, Cal Raleigh is a minus 200 favorite to win the MVP.
Wow.
These things are changing like by the minute. It's pretty crazy
Wow. What's
happening the final week of the baseball regular season. Who would you rather have on your team, in 2026, Aaron Judge or Kyle Rowley?
Can I go first? It's easy. It's Judge. He's more, I mean, he's Christian, he's done it for about, what?
5 years.
I mean, Judge, and it's an easy answer.
Yeah, easy.
It's an easy answer.
Best. The weird part is, this is one of those rare years where the best player in the American League will not get it. And he's playing some of the best baseball of his career. This is one of those moments. Christian said a perfect storm. This is a perfect storm. And I don't know how Judge can look at this and say, well, I deserved it over him. I can't say that.
No.
And you can say that on the other side, especially if Rowley hits 62 or gets to 63 home runs and breaks the American League home run record. I don't know how Judge can say that and say, well, he deserved it. Or I deserved it. Can't say that. A catcher, and we keep saying catcher. You want to downplay how important it is to have a catcher who's hit 60 home runs. If you look around the league and see how many catchers are hitting 20, let alone 60.
I dare I say 15.
Let alone 60. That's your response to that. Number three.
Number three.
I alluded to it. The Ryder Cup is going on this weekend. It starts tomorrow morning. Nice and early. First tee time, 7:10 a.m. Here's how the morning foursomes will line up. That's essentially an alternate shot. So one guy tees off, then the other teammate on the Europe side or the American side will hit the second shot from there, and so on and so forth. Starting off at 7:10 a.m., it's Bryson and JT versus John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton. Match two, Scotty Scheffler and Russell Henley versus Ludvig Åberg and Matt Fitzpatrick. Match three, Colin Morikawa, Harris English versus Rory and Tommy Fleetwood. And the final alternate shot foursome, match four at 7:58 a.m., Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay versus Bobby Mack and Victor Hovland. Now, that is the information that you need to see. How about the visuals that you need to see? Because Keegan Bradley, the weather's not very good right now in New York. A lot of rain. He was running up the fairway with Old Glory in hand, trying to fire up the American fans. If you take a look on the YouTube stream right now, you'll see what the scenes were like on the 18th fairway at Bethpage Black.
Man.
Keegan Bradley has represented himself very well so far before any ball has been teed up in this. Does it simply come down to win the tournament at home and you'll be deemed a good captain, or is it more than that?
He's got to wait. The thing is, it's not even just you're a good captain. You're a hero captain. We talked about it when he made the decision to not play and maintain himself as captain. We both understood both sides. We both thought that he was going to. We all thought that he was going to play and be a captain, but he instead sort of took the high road, fell on the sword, and didn't want to represent the United States on the actual course. Wants to do it as a captain. And now from here, if we circle back and one of the the last in, the Ben Griffins of the world, if they end up costing the United States, then you could circle back and say, well, what if Keegan was playing in this? But if those guys end up making big moves, a big round on Sunday to, secure a huge point, if it ends up being like that and the United States wins, Keegan's going to be viewed as the Ryder Cup guy. This is going to be just as much of a notch on his resume than it is everybody else's because of how he's handled this.
Christian, I'm going to make this very simple for you. This is must win. This is must win for the United States team. I've been hearing too long that, oh, they're selfish. They play for themselves. Oh, it's not, the Ryder Cup isn't a big deal to them. These guys are getting, they're taking shots. They're taking personal shots, too. Questioning their pride for country and questioning if this tournament even means anything. Hell yeah, Keegan Bradley needs to win this tournament. You're a loser if you don't win this tournament, as far as I'm concerned, Christian. Absolutely.
Here's the thing.
And hang on. New York fan, you were born for this moment. I know I said it yesterday. But New York fan was born. The New York fan was born for this moment, Colin.
Yeah,
they need to show up in a big way.
There were videos servicing
ahead,
from the practice round of Tyrrell Hatton, who's going to be teeing off against Bryson and JT for the first foursome of the entire tournament. Some American fans chirping him, saying he's very short and he's balding. He needs to stand up. Oh, you already are standing up? Nothing's out of bounds when it comes to Ryder Cup chirps. It's going to sound like an amusement park at Bethpage.
How about that? Hatton, DeChambeau, Thomas, and Rahm to open things up. Kind of guys with big personalities who are sort of just going to get the crowd roll. That's totally the idea.
Yeah,
they got those guys out early to get everybody riled up.
And you know, like, notoriously a hothead is Tyrell Hatton. Kind of looks like a leprechaun. The lasting image of what we saw from Tyrell Hatton was the U.S. Open, if I'm not mistaken, where he was just collapsing with how thick the rough was in that tournament where J.J. Spawn won it. And he, like, chunked it in the rough three times in a row and went in the sand. And he was getting mad at the fans who were giving him crap, too. It should be appointment television. If you were able to, at work, just throw a monitor on Ryder Cup, I think it'd be worth your while. And it's probably one of the bigger golf tournaments we've had in a long time. Like, I can't really conceptualize.
So, Christian, you're telling me Tyrell Hatton has a pot of gold?
If he wins a Ryder Cup, he might. He kind of looks.
I got a kick.
And how about that Scotty and Henley going against Oberg in that second matchup? If you remember the Ryder Cup 2 years ago, when Scotty and Henley and Oberg took that, there's some bad blood there. So keep that in mind. There's a little bit of history on top of that. And let's just acknowledge this: the third foursome, Rory and Fleetwood. Let's bet European on that one. All right, maybe United States gets the first two.
Rory
and Fleetwood versus English and Morikawa. I disagree, dude. If there's one, let's say DeChambeau and Thomas really get this party started, and then Scheffler's coming in there second, you know, to kind of do cleanup and make sure you can establish a lead early. Morikawa and English are the throwaways. All right, the English are going to have to score. The Europe's going to have to score eventually, and that would be probably the round.
My golf buddies can't stand Morikawa.
He's good in the Ryder
Cup.
He's a bit of a jerk. He is a little bit stuck up.
So annoying with the media.
Christian, my group chat constantly getting blown up on Colin Morikawa hate.
I will say the Americans
thing.
Are
when
coming
Rory,
off.
It's Rory
it's
and
not
Fleetwood.
Even here's the thing. There's
it's
no,
Rory and Fleetwood.
No, Fleetwood's
third.
A head case.
I'm not going
No, wait a second. Wait a second. No. Put yourself into Tommy Fleetwood's shoes. This is alternate shot. So what you do sets up the guy to your left for his shot. So he's got Rory McIlroy.
Yeah,
who can hit
cool
whatever
he's
shot
bring McIlroy
he wants.
Down.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's going to bring McIlroy. You're banking on
who's
Fleetwood
already,
sinking the ship.
He's already a bit of a head case. He did break through, but he's already a bit of a head case. And now he's got the pressure of not just an entire country, an entire continent, and Rory McIlroy behind him. I'm not going to rule out Morikawa and Harris English in match three of the Ryder Cup. How
it's
about
gonna be,
that?
Guys, it's going to be a real bad look if Team USA doesn't win. It's going to be a real tough scene for those guys.
What
they
do I got?
Don't say they've really hammered in the pride of country
Christian.
Play for USA, and they haven't done that in years.
Christian, it's going to be a real tough scene, brother. Moving on.
Number four.
How about Paul Skeens? Finished the season with a sub-2 ERA for the first time for a pitcher since Justin Verlander did it 3 years ago. That's his sophomore season. Of course, he pitched last year. Was a 196 last year. He's been pretty ridiculous his past couple of years. Is Paul Skeens going to be playing for a different organization this time, I don't know, in 2027?
Yeah, and he's probably going to be wearing pinstripes.
He's going to leave. Because
even yesterday,
last start of the season, he pitches a gem, right? They're up 2-0 when he gets through 7. And then what do the Pirates immediately do? Allow an inside-the-park home run by Noelvi Marte.
This is crazy.
And then give up the tying after that. And then all of a sudden you're going back and forth. The Pirates won. Give the credit to the offense. They won in the 11th. But, I mean, geez, to blow another Skeens start is right on par.
That was a tough series for Cincinnati. Side note. Now, I did get my
over. They won today.
And I was about to tell you, I got that over 81. It was 80.5 for Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Terry Francona always wins 81 games, Christian.
Okay.
Number five.
Looking at a jam-packed NFL slate coming up this weekend, we've got our first international series game that's in Europe. I know we had the Brazil one on the Friday of week one, but we've got Vikings Steelers, you've got Eagles Buccaneers, and you've got Ravens versus Chiefs alongside Packers Cowboys. What game are you most excited this NFL Sunday to watch?
He missed out on Jags Niners. But I think the battle of the 1 and 2s is going to be interesting because that team that falls to 1 and 3 is going to be in a really tough spot. Now, the Ravens can probably deal with it better than the Chiefs can. Ravens have a little bit worse of a division. And the Chiefs, on the other hand, are still going to have to go through that division. Denver, you know, the Raiders, all going to play them tough. They're going to have to deal with the Chargers again.
Yep.
So it's a tougher road for Kansas City. Kansas City's a better team, more proven team. But If you are the Baltimore Ravens, that is as close to must-win as you could get, especially after all the bad mojo you had in your home building, losing one closer than what the record, the scoreboard shows, you know, by 8 points last week to the Detroit Lions. That's the game I'm looking at the most.
Yeah, that's mine too. But let me give you
the Packers are going to win easy against the Cowboys. I don't have my eyes on that as much.
Let me give you another one. I like Eagles and Buccaneers in Tampa.
That's
Eagles,
their boogeyman.
Correct. And you know, I know the Eagle fans are strutting around pride as a peacock right now, but gosh, mate, I mean, the Cowboy game, they could have been, like I said, and Kyle, we talked earlier in the show, a lot of these teams, man, there have been teams that have been great in one-score games and close games, and teams that have not been, and the Eagles have been amazing in all of these close games. All three of their games have been decided by a score or less. So I truly do think that's going to be a great game. Tampa Bay, too, you can say the same thing for them. Three game-winning drives for Baker Mayfield to start the season. Both these teams have won similar. I really like Tampa Bay and the Eagles. This is a shout for you. I think Tampa Bay wins this game. I think they win this game. I like Tampa in that game.
Number five.
That was number five, and that was your five at five. And speaking of the number five, download
right.
Cover five, because you guys have some picks to make later on in the show as we go head-to-head with you, theoretically speaking, versus Russo and Rizzo, and head-to-head with the fans of ESPN West Palm. Are you going to bull your way to get Buccaneers on the cover five picks, Mike?
We got to decide as a team.
We got to avoid the blowout this week. We got to avoid the blowout.
Christian, we've been on the blowout. We have had the blowout on our every single week. We were on the Dolphins week one. We were on the Bengals week three, and we were on the team that got their butts beat week two
as well. The worst one was the Browning one.
I texted you mid-song. I go, "Why? Remind me why the hell we are on this football team. Right? Yeah. Why am I rooting for this football team down 48-3?
That was a rough one.
You didn't pick a 5.5-point favorite that got shut out 30-0 against Bryce Young and the Panthers. Oh, that was
us. That's bad. Yeah, I mean, you should have known that the 0-2 Panthers got something to play for, including and especially my over at 6.5.
Theo is high on the Falcons, on the Dirty Birds coming in.
Tell me something I don't, man. He loves the Atlanta.
He loves the city
in general.
And that team stinks.
That coach is going to be fired. And they brought the offensive coordinator down from up in the booth down
to
the field,
first,
which is step one to a two-step process in firing the coaches.
Like, it's like getting your last meal, you know?
Yeah. Well, come down to the field so we could, you know, get sent off together.
Right.
Unbelievable. Guys, circling back, I love these foursome matchups just really quick. But the one thing I'm curious about, no J.J. Spawn and no Cam Young and no Ben Griffin. J.J. Spawn especially, who's had a great season. And Morikawa hasn't done much. Shoffley especially hasn't done much. They went with the experience over the new faces, which I'm interested in. Let's see if all America can get it done with a good start tomorrow. Looking forward to that Ryder Cup action. Tease off tomorrow morning. We got to make some cover five picks later on in the program. The vibes are high here at the park in West Palm Beach, but we're going to take a timeout. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
You know, this point of the year is always fun because all I can think about is college football. All I can think about is bowl season, which is just on the horizon. The Boca Raton Bowl, the 2025 Boca Raton Bowl, it's kicking off its 12th season, Tuesday, December 23rd at Flagler Credit Union Stadium down in Boca on the FAU campus. It's going to be at 2 p.m. on Tuesday. Game's going to air on ESPN. It's going to have two of the biggest and best teams from the Group of Five that are going to battle it out for their chance at the title. More information can be found at BocaRatonBowl.com. Follow along on Twitter at Boca Bowl and Facebook.com/BocaBowl. For more updates as we inch closer to the 2025 Boca Raton Bowl, Tuesday, December 23rd at FAU Stadium. Mike, we're going to make our picks with Cover 5 on the other side of things as we close out the program, so stay tuned for that because we got a big week ahead.
We do.
For those who don't understand what Cover 5 is, it's lightning bets. So every time you take a spread, if you take a team in favor of three, what you can do is if they win by 10, you get 7 points. And on the Cover 5 app, you could actually compete against myself and Mike and Theo and Christian and a smattering of others on the Cover 5 app and just make five picks a week in the NFL slate. It's free to download. It's on the App Store. Cover 5. The 5 is in the number. And go to ESPN West Palm and use code MVP MVP2025 as your code to get into it. That's MVP2025. Go get started on hard on the Cover 5 app now. It is free to join, and you get some opportunities. Add a little bit of prize action if you do well. Free to join, plus prizes. Doesn't take much to get me to sign up, and that should do the same for you. Cover 5, we got to make some good picks. We got to stay away from the big blowout of the weekend. And we got to take a couple picks as we're going to blitz the book later on. But let's stay on baseball right now. Let's close this out. Today, huge games on the slate. Now we know that the Reds have beaten the Pirates, so the Mets have a huge game. We know that the Astros are going to beat the Athletics. They are up by 7 runs. They are going to beat the Oakland A's. They might be up by 9 runs at
it
this
is,
point.
It is, yeah. It's 9.
9-0. They're blowing them out. All right, so that game's over. And Tigers-Guardians is at 6:40. And then you got the Blue Jays and Red Sox at 7:07 tonight. And then Mets and Cubs at 7:40. If the Mets lose, Reds will once again be controlling their own destiny to get into that postseason
Reds
spot.
Reds have tiebreaker.
They do. In favor over the Mets.
Yep.
And the Tigers, on the other hand, who have the season series over the Astros, so they have a technically, if you wanted to go down into it, would have a 2-game lead. But if Houston were to win today, they'd have 85. And then they would be tied after today, and then Detroit would have to lose another one, and Houston would have to win another one for them to lose. Let me ask you this.
Yep.
I actually saw the question on First Take this morning. Surprising, great question. Mets, Tigers, which one is a bigger collapse in your eyes? If one of the two don't make the postseason,
hear me out on this too, and I promise this isn't me being a guard homer. I think it's the Mets. Do you want to know why?
Okay.
I think it's really impressive what my team has done. If the Guardians don't win 20 out of 20, you know, out of 24, the run the Guards are on, I think is
true.
The story.
The Tigers had a better record than the Mets. They were 24 games over. The Mets were 21 games
agreed.
Over. Keep that in mind.
But I think it's the Mets because, like, I mean, dude, all that money that
that's,
they have on the roster
argument.
And
there's
Juan Soto, like, brother, you got to figure that out. I know pitching's been a nightmare for them all year. They've had similar to the Dodgers, they've had pitchers be healthy. They've had pitchers be hurt. They can't really find a groove of getting everybody healthy at the same time. But I think because of the payroll and the stipulations of being in New York and getting Juan Soto, stealing them from the Yankees, being the big story heading into the year and during the whole season, I think it's got to be the Mets that are the bigger disgrace. And my guard, and because my guards too, I mean, bro, they're on an incredible run. They're on an incredible run.
Let's keep
there's no one. There's no one doing that against the Mets. The Mets are just imploding. You know what I'm saying, mate?
But here's the thing. The NL's better than the AL.
Agreed. And the Guards are beating up on the
NL's
division.
The NL's better than the AL. And the Tigers had the best record in the AL, too.
Give them credit, though. The Indians went in. They beat Houston in Houston.
Fine.
They had good wins outside of that division,
too. This is nothing
too.
To do. I agree. The Guardians have done great. The Tigers still had a 12-game lead. That means, you're right, the Guardians need to go essentially undefeated, and the Tigers need to lose every game on the schedule.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened. One thing still needed to happen. I agree with you on the sense that they're both disgraces, but I dare I say that the Tigers, and I
okay.
hate the Mets. The Mets. Dare I say the Tigers. And why do I say the Tigers? Because the Tigers were in the AL. They were in a easier division. And the Tigers, if you have watched the last week of Tiger baseball, you'd be pulling your hair out if you were rooting for them. You'd be pulling your hair out. Now, the Mets lose because the Mets can't pitch. You know, the Mets have blown leads here and there. The Tigers are, it's just like they've forgotten how to play. And their pitching stinks. And their hitting is unreliable here and there. And they're losing to a Guardian team that could score in 100 different ways. They don't need to, you know, knock it out of the ballpark to beat you. But I mean, they were 25 games over. They have lost 40 of their last 65 games.
Right.
I mean, this is bad.
Now, I know I took the Mets, but even more to your point, I mean, to the ripping the hair out point, I cannot believe what happened to Skubal.
Two games ago? Yeah.
I can't. And I agree with you. Fry, brother, you ever seen Austin Powers?
Yeah.
Move! when he drove
in the sixth inning in the two games ago when Scooble
like brother,
unraveled.
Like Fry, brother,
he's holding up
way.
A bunt and he's Pull looking back. Down the ball as it hits him between the eyes. I'm like, guys, get out of the
brother,
way.
Brother, move!
Get like, out of the way.
And the saddest part about that is it was called a strike.
Oh, my
they had to have
God.
They had to have Valera come up. But if you miss the game, Scooble had an out at first base. That was a good bunt by Angel Martinez. But at the same time, like
a 2-0 lead.
Scooble hiked the ball. Instead of picking up the ball and throwing it like normal, he hiked the ball through his legs and went over the guy's head. And then the next batter, he hits David Fry in the face because Fry guy wouldn't get out of the way. That's why I say he's got to move. But he didn't get out of the
way.
Then
he balks.
He balks.
Wild pitch.
Wild pitch. Runner goes across, and all of a sudden, Scooble's out of the game because he's thrown 100 pitches. That is the stuff that makes you rip your hair out if you're a Detroit Tiger fan.
He probably lost himself to Cy Young. Too.
He's the best pitcher. Colin, I don't.
And he lost it. He lost it.
I personally, we can sit here and argue this. Scooble's the best pitcher in baseball. All right, the fact that that happened to the best pitcher in baseball while you're sliding like that. Colin, they moved him up by 4 days. They moved him up by 4 days to start. He was on 4 days rest. You know, in the MLB, it's 5, 6, 7 days you're resting. They moved his start up, and he's also going to be pitching again in Boston. Or where is that godforsaken game?
Is it
in Boston or is it in Detroit? Forgive me, but they play Boston. He's going to be pitching in Boston or in Detroit as well against Boston. So
it is in Boston. Never mind.
But it's like
Scooble's going to pitch last game of the year.
He's going to be. If
they use him Tuesday, they're going to use him last game of the year.
Scooble's going to be throwing two games on like 6 days,
with already
7 days
an oblique
rest.
Injury. Here's the problem: the Tigers have lost 11 of their last 12 games. They were 84-62 on September 10th, and since then they have plummeted to 85-73. I get it. They're still a good team. They're probably better than the Mets are. But if you can't sit here and tell me that a team that was, 60-40 is going to finish, hovering at 10 games over.
And while Detroit was losing all those games, the Guardians were winning all the games.
And you're getting swept by Atlanta. You just got swept by Cleveland. You're going to get swept by Cleveland twice. In 9 games.
6:40 first pitch. We'll
see. My goodness. And then you got, I agree. I hate the Mets. But I could have saw this coming a mile away. I didn't see it coming from the Tigers. The Tigers got a good manager. And I thought that the Tigers running things back, Flaherty back in
the mix.
They were able to kind of reload and attack it again.
What'd you say about the Tiger manager?
Good manager.
All right. Remember the stuff I keep telling you about karma? About Harbaugh?
This is Harbaugh.
It's happening with Hinch right
so
now.
Hang on. So when the Chargers are 9-1 and they lose the last games of the year?
They'll lose in the playoffs like they always do. That's the karma for Harbaugh again. His quarterback's going to turn into fool's gold.
You don't like cheaters.
And they're going to lose. I hate cheaters. Can't stand them. Can't stand them. Both of those guys cheated their asses off and nothing happened.
Okay.
See what happened to Hinch? What happened to that Hinch? What was their record? 85.
They were 60-40. Yeah. They were 84-63.
Karma, friend.
84-63.
Karma for the buzzers that was on the Jose Altuve. That cheating, you know what? Too.
11 of the last 12. Tigers are a disgrace. The Mets are a disgrace. How about that? A story of two second halves. Last year, the Mets and the Tigers were the big stories in baseball. On the flip side, now it's the Mariners and the Guardians. How about that? That is baseball for you as we got a packed day ahead. We'll make our picks against Cover 5 on the NFL side of things. We are at the park in West Palm Beach for the Palm Beaches Golf Classic presented by the Palm Beach Sports Commission and the James Hardy Pro Football Hall of Fame Invitational. We'll close things out on the other side. It's Thursday's edition of Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. The ESPN South Florida app is live. It's free to download on the App Store. Go get started now. It's all your South Florida beats. That's including Russo and Rizzo with myself and Mike. That's including Theoretically Speaking. That's including the specialty programming. That's including Inter-Miami English and Spanish broadcast. That's including the Kaiser Seahawks athletic football games. And that's including a whole lot more in one spot, including the ESPN national programming as well. Go download the ESPN South Florida app today on the App Store. If you missed any of the program today, go listen to Russo and Rizzo, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, search up Russo and Rizzo. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Cat. It's time for us to make our picks with Cover 5. Mike, we've made three picks thus far. We need to make two more. We'll do this live on air.
All right.
So what do we have the three that we like for this week's NFL season? Cover 5 is lightning bets. So we are not only picking the spread, we need them to win the spread and then some, because every point you get for or against your spread pick, you get a point on it on the app. Go ahead.
We have Seattle minus 1.5 tonight on the road against Arizona. So we're going with the Seahawks minus 1.5. I am on board. For the record, I am on board for this. Carolina plus 5.5.
Welcome to the team. We need this for the over.
Carolina plus 5.5 at New England. New England stinks.
I mean, New England they played well last week.
But I think the Steelers, I might have to eat a crow on that, because it looks like they stink too.
Yeah.
But Carolina plus 5.5, really like that.
That's a big line.
Now, I'm trusting you on this one. Jags plus 3.5 on the road at San Francisco. Yeah. Mac Jones, possibly Brock Purdy.
It's probably going to be Purdy, but they don't have Bosa. They're not going to have Kittle.
What the hell is Trevor Lawrence going to play like, though?
Yeah.
That's my – Kyle.
If they play well, if Lawrence plays well, I think they'll beat him by two touchdowns.
You want to know what
That's a risk. I do not think they get blown out.
Do you want to know what
– The one thing is, it's a safe pick, because there's no way they get blown out.
Do you want to know what game
you could clip that. Go ahead.
Do you want to know what game I like that I think is going to be a blowout? I like the Rams at home against Indiana Jones. I think they're sick to their stomach that they lost the way they did in Philadelphia. Little home cooking for the Rams.
It's our guy.
It's our guy, but I think that's the blowout. If you ask me where the blowout is on the NFL schedule this week, it's the Rams. The Rams are going to put up about 35 points against Indiana Jones. I think that comes to a
screeching
halt. That's a cross-country. By the way, it's a cross-country trip for Indiana Jones.
Are we sitting here on Monday morning saying the Packers just put the Cowboys to sleep?
No, I take
48-15.
That was going to be my next thing. I want Dallas plus 6.5.
I'm not letting you take Dallas.
Why?
That is not because this is
plus 6.5.
You don't like
Jordan
Packers.
Love looked like Jordan.
They're coming off a loss.
Brother, Jordan Love looked terrible.
They're going to respond well.
Jordan Love.
I trust the Packers to respond more than I trust the Cowboys to respond.
All right, well, we're taking the Rams then. Give me that. I want the Rams minus 3.5. If I'm not allowed to
take, I don't like betting against our guy, but we could do that.
Cowboys plus, they're getting a touchdown at home. At home. Anyway, moving on.
You want to bet the Lions against the Cleveland Browns?
No, let's stay away from that game. That's going to be my survivor. I think we're going to. How about this?
You don't want to double up?
We used the Bills and we used the Broncos. So it's either Detroit or Texans. And, like, I want to stay – if we're taking Detroit, I want to stay far away from the gambling line on it. Fair enough?
Fine.
All right.
What about the Monday night games? Let's finish off there. We haven't touched a lot of Monday night games.
You don't like Houston at home? 6.5? They can't score. They can't score.
Because the thing is, even if they play well, it's going to be ugly. You're not getting a lot of points out of that.
You want to know the news? Titans can't score either.
I wouldn't touch the Texans. I watched that whole game last week. Texans are a major.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and Brian Rowitz, director of content, our great boss, forgive me for even asking this, because I should probably know. Are we at the game Monday night with the Dolphins?
No.
Okay. All right. So, is that a game you want to touch? Jets minus. It's Dolphins minus.
Dolphins 11 days off.
You like the Finns to get their first win? Now, we said we were never taking them again after that Week 1 game.
That's a really tricky game.
I mean, Aaron Glenn was
How about this? Hold on.
Glenn was
looking in the wrong direction.
Doing the chicken dance on the sideline.
Denver Broncos.
You like Denver in this?
I do. That's the one I like the
most. Is this our revenge on Cincinnati?
See, no. This is going to be Jake Browning's revenge on us when we take Denver.
No.
And then Cincinnati goes in and beats
them. Is it at Mile High?
Yes, it is.
Oh, dude. That guy's
Now,
toast.
The one thing about that Bo Nix is Bo Nix has played very well against teams he should beat and teams they're better than.
Denver,
that's when they were great.
Denver needs the game. They're 1-2.
They need the game.
All right. So, Christian, Seattle minus 1.5. Carolina plus 5.5. Jags plus 3.5. We got the Rams minus 3.5. And then we got Denver minus 7.5.
Yeah, no Cowboys. No Cowboys against the
They'll
Packers.
They'll cover. And you'll text me, Riz, what are we doing?
Nope. They're not covering. That's not even an upside, because they're not going to blow them out. They're not blowing them out.
They're going to cover, though. They're going to cover it. I think they win. They'll win by about a touchdown.
You just want the Packers to lose.
I'm telling you, man.
You want the trade to look good in the pack in the Cowboys' eyes because you're pro Cowboys.
It's not even that. It's not even that. The Cowboys need the game too. I think the Cowboys are a good team. I do. That defense is a nightmare, but they need the game. They need to win that game. Dak needs to play well. I don't know. It's okay. We're not taking it. But I'm telling you.
That defense stinks. They're not going to have CeeDee Lamb.
Jordan Love made the Cleveland Browns look like the 0-2 Ravens with Ray Lewis and Ed Reed.
And give the Browns credit because they shut down that
run
game.
They made Swessinger and Garrett
look
like Terrell Suggs and Ray Lewis.
First of all, Garrett's better than Terrell
Suggs.
I'm
not saying he's not, but you get what I'm saying. They made the Brownies look like they're an elite defense. They got 43 put on them against Baltimore.
Keep an eye out. You're just trying to sell yourself anti-Browns. I'm surprised. I mean, I really am surprised. You don't think the Packers are going to respond in a big way?
No. Quarterback's an issue. If Mike T's listening,
he bought all that Jordan Love stock. It's not like that defense is going to give them problems. The Browns defense gave them problems, and we could have expected that. They stonewalled defense.
This is a gut feeling for me. To your point, everything points Green Bay. This is a gut feeling for what all the talking heads were saying about Jerry Jones in the offseason.
This is about
Cowboys
the trade.
Are going to respond.
This is about the trade.
How about this? The last time I went with my gut feeling with the Cowboys, we won Thursday Night Football against the Eagles.
I agreed with you there. I agree. I was on board with that.
But you're out on a team that's getting a touchdown at home against a team that put up 10 points last weekend. I understand the Cowboys aren't world beaters.
Mike, we were talking about the Packers like they're the best team in the NFL. We were talking about the Packers like they were the best team in the NFL after 2 weeks.
But the Commanders, Commanders aren't as good as advertised. Detroit has found their way after losing their coordinator. It was a tough game for Detroit after losing their coordinators that first game. You know, they figured it out. I think that Packer
two things.
That Packer bandwagon has hit a rock on their way to the Oregon.
You just want to see the Packers lose.
On their way,
it was the right move to put the Packers at 5 and the Lions at 6 on our power rankings. It was the right move.
The Oregon Trail is a bumpy road.
You can't play 3 games, win 1 head-to-head, and then the other team's ahead of you in the power rankings. Can't do that. That's not fair. That's not fair through 3 games. Through 10 games, we can have a conversation.
Gut feeling.
Not through 3. Not the right thing to do.
Cowboys 1-2 got embarrassed by the Bears.
Well, so did the Bears. You don't think the Packers got embarrassed? That was an embarrassing loss.
You don't want to tell me waxing poetically about my Brownie defense, mate. Pick a side.
I agree. That's a testament to the defense, not anti-Green Bay.
Okay.
A bad loss for Green Bay, 100%. But that Brown defense is pretty good. No, better than pretty good. They're very good.
The only reason the offense scored was because who was it? Delpit with the pick and a 15-yard penalty that
offense
went our way.
Offense stinks.
Oh, my
stinks.
God, dude.
Don't have to convince
How
me there.
How the hell did we win that game?
Offense stinks. Don't have to convince me there.
I didn't get a noise complaint, but I probably should have got a noise complaint. I was barking. Oh, oh, oh.
Big thanks to the park for having us out. Big thanks to the Palm Beach Sports Commission for having us out for the Palm Beaches Golf Classic, which is today at the park. We got a little golf threesome, foursome. All the guys are coming out here at the park having a good time. Appreciate them. And the James Hardy Pro Football Hall of Fame for having us out. Big thanks to Christian Cat keeping us up over the air. We'll be back at it tomorrow with some high school coverage and on top of that, some Ryder Cup reactions because it does tee off tomorrow at Bethpage Black up in Long Island. That's Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo saying so long. Enjoy the Thursday night football game tonight. Cardinals, Seahawks, we're both on Seattle tonight, winning that one. But we'll have you tomorrow, ESPN 106.3.